time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Well, we can give you those numbers right now. How you doing? This is the Cabranes Law Hour. Lou Turner at the helm. John Cabranes will be joining us in just a moment. First, let me get these phone numbers out there. 634-9756. That's 634-9756. If you'd like to call the office of Attorney Cabranes directly, 262-638-0529. Again, that's 262-638-0529. As always, joined by Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader, as well as Attorney Cabranes. Here we go. Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, I guess I should say.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Ready for the weekend, but I'm really upset that it's so cold outside.
Well, this is Wisconsin. Don't forget what state
I
you're
always
in.
Forget.
yeah, so do I. Attorney Cabranes, what's on the docket today?
Good afternoon, sweet Lou Turner. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hello. I'm fine. I like that sweet Lou.
Yeah.
Coming from anybody but you.
Really? Why? Well, you know, I used to work with a guy in radio in a previous incarnation by the name of Sweet Dick Whittington. And he was a big, big name in Southern California radio for many, many years in the 70s and 80s. He used to go around. He had no problem with Sweet Dick.
Sweet Dick.
Yeah.
Sweet Lou.
Sweet Lou. And, sounds better than the alternative.
And Sweet Shanaz Lakdawala and Sweet Jordan Schrader, who was not with us last week. You were missed, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I missed it here, too.
She was missed?
I think so. Yeah. Just trying to be nice.
Do you want to tell them why you weren't here?
I'd like to hear.
Oh, I was busy.
Well, that narrows it down.
Doing lots of fun things.
Yes, Ms. Schrader got engaged last week.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
I know. And those of us who are already married are trying to steer her away from that. Most married people don't make the best advertisement for our product.
Most don't. What, 50%? Is that still hovering around there for the divorce rate?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think it's higher than that. It's strange because I used to have an attorney friend of mine who did a lot of divorces, and he said to me, I've seen what they're like, and I will never ever get divorced. And sure enough, he did. It comes upon you whether you want it or not. The longer you go, I think in some ways the tougher it is because, you know, those little charming idiosyncrasies that used to warm the cockles of your heart now just basically...
They grate.
They grate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, if you're listening, honey, not yours.
Mine too. Same with me, dear. Well, I've been married 31 years, and I have found... that if you just say do what the woman wants at all times, it's going to be a lot easier.
It is.
Just
it is.
Give in.
It is. And, you know, my father had a system, and it worked for years until my stepmother figured it out. He'd be sitting watching TV, and she'd be talking, and he would occasionally, he would notice when she would stop talking and grunt something at her. Apparently that was the response that she was seeking, that he was actually listening to her. And then she would continue talking on, and he would occasionally just grunt at her, and everything perfectly happy. If you asked him afterwards, you know, what the conversation was about, he couldn't have no clue.
Who cares?
Yeah. He was just looking for the pauses that would signal his response.
Well, she needed to throw in some kind of nonsense and see if he still responded in the same way.
Well, I think she finally did.
Yeah.
And I think that's when she realized that that his response was not appropriate to the question that was asked. And I wasn't there for that. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that one.
So, Lou, how long did it take you to realize that the answer to a good marriage is to just agree with everything the woman says?
Oh, 15, 20 years, maybe.
Can you call my husband and let him know?
Well, how long have you been married?
It'll be 2 years in June.
Yeah, that's your honeymoon.
rookie. You know, you're just now getting used to the fact that he squeezed the toothpaste in the middle as opposed to rolling it up from the bottom.
Jordan, see what you have to look forward to?
Yeah.
I have a lot of good things to look forward to.
That's what we all thought.
You know,
even though we do divorces, it hasn't swayed me the other way just yet.
And don't feel bad. I think people that are married and have been married, they feel it's their duty to make fun of those about to get married. We kind of have to.
Oh yeah,
this
yeah,
is what we do.
In fact, I had three partners when I got married, and for those of you who've lived in Racine for a long time, you'll know some of these names. John Belogic was one of my partners. Rod Kanan was another partner, and Judy Hartig, may she rest in peace, was my third partner, and they all came to my wedding, and they all made it a point to warn my wife that there was still time to run. Yeah.
It's not too late.
No, it's not too late, and she didn't listen. And the question now is, you know, whether she's sorry she didn't listen.
Well, how long have you been married, Attorney Cabranes?
This year, in October, it'll be 17 years.
Well done. Yeah. That's beating the odds. So moving on to the law, 634-9756, 634-WRJN, or you could talk about your marriage, whatever you want to talk about, as John's still feeling a little under the weather there, but we will be back. All right, so what are we discussing?
Well, I think this is a good...
It's a good topic.
Yeah, family law, dealing with divorces and stuff like that. I actually have a question. I don't know. I had this case come the other day, and the guy was looking at how much he's going to have to pay in maintenance. And, you know, they had been married for, I think, 15 plus years. What are the calculations that the courts kind of, what are the factors the courts consider when they're awarding maintenance?
Well, there's a couple of main issues. First of all, I mean, there's a whole statutory section as to what the criteria for maintenance are. It's a question of essentially what it boils down to really is income. If one party has substantially more income than the other, and there has been a long-term marriage, you know, and I'll give you an example. I just went to court last week with a couple who... The wife doesn't want any maintenance, and they've been married for 33 years, and the court is very hesitant not to deny maintenance to her because he makes, I wouldn't say significantly more, but he makes more money. You know, and the court, in explaining to her why he was uncomfortable not ordering maintenance, One of the explanations was, well, hey, you know, there are some families where the wife stays home and she takes care of the children. She raises the children. She's a stay-at-home mom. Or maybe she is working part-time because she is taking care of the children. You know, and the husband has an opportunity to go out and build his career and build his income. And then 33 years later, you know, he's making, let's say, $100,000 a year, and she may be, you know, making, you know, $20,000 a year because of her part-time job.
Or less.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's fundamentally unfair that she would have essentially given up her opportunity to build a career and build a wage-earning capacity because... you know, she was home taking care of the kids, which in turn allowed the husband to increase his wage-earning capacity because he was free to go pursue his career.
And more hours and whatever it took.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the longer the marriage, the the more likely it is that a court is going to order some form of maintenance. But the other factor in that equation is there money to pay maintenance? So, you know, you can have a 33-year marriage, and if they're fairly close together in terms of income, and, you know, you talk about the average family, you know, you may have, you know, dad may make, you know, $35,000, $36,000 a year. Mom may make $30,000 a year. Well, you know, one of the things, it's not just a raw income that comes in. It's really what you're looking at is disposable income, among other things. So, you know, you got to look at what your bills are. Is there a capacity to pay maintenance and things like that?
How much is required?
Yeah, how much does the other person need to get along? It's not just a simple factor of combining your two incomes and taking an average, and that's and wherever you are in that average, you pay out to the person who's below that line. That's not the way it works. So there's a complicated factor. In fact, there are programs that have been designed. Mac Davis is one of them you just punch in all the respective information. And it spits out a number, sort of a range of where you should expect maintenance should be. So that's a complicated process in trying to figure out where maintenance should be. But I will tell you this, ladies, and I deal with a lot of people who believe that, you know, I worked for 20 years, for 30 years. What I made is my money. It's mine, okay?
Legally, not so much, though.
Well, it's not at all.
In Wisconsin.
Well, not, and that's right, because it's you know, your income, not only just your income, but any money that goes into a 401k, retirement plans, you know, things like that that increase over time. Even if you had the plan. Yeah. I'll let you finish that thought. But even if you started that 401k before you got married, that appreciation in the 401k over the course of the marriage is fair game for division. So you know, so ladies and in some cases gentlemen, be aware that, you know, if somebody comes and says to you, "You're not entitled. This is my money. I earned this money." That's not the law. And so, you know, that's why some of these divorces get particularly ugly, because the fight isn't about, you know, the ottoman or the kids so much as it is about money.
And my money.
My money. That's right.
Well, money is such a personal thing. And when it's yours, you feel like it's yours. You have ownership of that. And that's hard to get around that, get your head around it, I would think.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that you see a lot in divorces is people who drag their kids into the middle of it. And it becomes this huge custody fight over these kids. And placement fight over these kids, and the only reason they're fighting, mm-hmm. really, is to either increase or lower the child support amount that they're going to have to pay. And you know, they drag these kids through this process, and it's a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's rough on the kids.
Yeah,
no way. I mean, it's just awful. Yeah. But a lot of people do it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, they may not have any other reason, like Attorney Cabranes was saying. Any other reason to have the kid or fight for 50-50, that's just to offset the amount they would probably owe in child support to the other parent. And it's actually quite upsetting when we see that happen.
I don't think. 634-9756, maybe you've had a wild divorce you want to share with us. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you're going through it right now. I know it's a personal situation, but feel free to give us a call. Free advice for you, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. Or if you'd like to call the Cabranes Law Office directly, 262-638-0529. The first consultation is always free. So when you see divorces in your office, and it sounds like you see a lot, what is the usual cause? Or is the cause not even something you guys, it's not on your radar, rather than let's just get through this?
So the grounds for a divorce is that just one party finds that their marriage is irretrievably broken and That's all it takes. It's a Wisconsin is a no fault state, which means that it doesn't matter if there's a reason behind it. If one person just believes that I don't want to be married to this person anymore and I can't make it work, you have grounds for divorce, and that should be granted.
So other states, it's like I want to get a divorce. She doesn't. She could fight me on that to even be able to get a divorce.
When I was in law school, I worked for a summer for Chicago Volunteer Legal Services, and that they only do family law, or at least used to only do family law. So I had some exposure to Illinois family law, and they're not a no-fault divorce state. You have to allege grounds for divorce, and you know, you can certainly contest those grounds. I mean, abandonment, mental cruelty, things like that. Wisconsin just requires that you just don't want to be married anymore.
Let's take a call. Hi, caller. You're on with John Cabranes, Cabranes Law Hour. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I have a dilemma going on that I'm wondering if I have a leg to stand on. I was severanced from a big company in Racine, and they offered me the insurance, and I took the dental out. And January, they sent out a letter, December, and I had paid through it till February. They cashed my check, and they went to a new company, and they sent letters out in the mail, which I never received. February 27th, it was a dental insurance. And my dentist said that I was not insured.
Well, if you paid for it and they took your check, you know, it sounds to me like you might have a claim. You know, here's the thing. I'd love to be able to tell you that lawyers know every area of the law, but the reality is that we kind of specialize in certain areas. Labor law, that kind of law is not one that we do a lot of, and so I can't really answer your question as to what your rights are. I can tell you in the general terms that if you have an agreement and you meet your end of the agreement by paying them, then they have to live up to their agreement. And so if you've incurred damages because of their failure to live up to their agreement, you might have an action against them. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you want, we can certainly give you the name of an attorney who specializes in employment law, and you can call that individual up and see if they'll give you a consultation. So all I'm going to ask you to do is call the office, 262-638-0529. We'll be happy to give you a referral. Also, if you don't want to do that, you can call the lawyer referral service. The state bar has you can Google it, not to give Google any kind of advertising.
Free call.
Or Bing it.
Or Bing it, or, you know, whatever the other search engines are. If you look for Wisconsin State Bar Lawyer Referral Service, you know, and you look under employment law, you know, they'll refer you. They'll give you something like three or four referrals, and then you can pick among the ones that you want. But if you give us a call, we'll be happy to give you a name as well.
Okay, I will give you a call. Yeah, they just sent me back a refund check.
Well,
I'm thinking if I never used this insurance, I would have never known.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a problem. Of course, is that they're sending you back a refund check, which it would seem to me they're acknowledging that they got your check in the first place. So, you know, the question then is, you know, what limitations were part of that agreement? I mean, did they have a time limit under which you had to secure your own insurance? You know, what was going on there? You know, I don't have that information. And even if I did have that information, I'm not well-versed enough in that area of the law to give you any kind of advice.
But, you know, when you went to the dentist and they say you don't have insurance, that's a wake-up call for you.
Yeah, the day before it was supposed to end. Over $5,000 I owe the dentist.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, it seems to me that that's a good enough reason to talk to a lawyer about what your rights are on that.
Yes.
Okay, give him a call and good luck.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Anybody, anything is wide open. We've been talking about divorce. We've been talking about children in divorce. We've been talking about, you name it, 634-9756, 634-WRJN. If you have calls, feel free to give us a yell, and we'll help you out as best we can. labor law, that's not your thing, but it sounds like she has kind of a mess on her hands.
Well, it does, and you know, it's always dicey, you know, when you take a check and you accept a check. You know, say for the sake of argument, you are a landlord, and you want you're trying to evict somebody, and you're evicting them for non-payment of rent, and you've already filed the action, and you're just waiting to go to court, and all of a sudden they come in and they give you a check. You know, if you take that check and you cash it, they don't owe you the rent anymore. You know, you may still have ways of getting rid of them, but it's not going to be for non-payment of rent. So, you know, when you take those kind of payments, you know, sometimes it kind of gets rid of your cause of action. The flip side to that is that, you know, if I pay you the balance owed on, let's say I have a vehicle and I'm behind on payments on the vehicle, and I get caught up on payments, and you take my vehicle anyway, after you've accepted my money, well, it seems to me we're going to have a problem. And so, you know, so when you issue those checks and people start taking those checks and running them through their banks, there's an acknowledgement. There's, you know, these are all contractual obligations that you have. That's why, you know, these things are in writing. And so when you make your payment, you're no longer in breach of that contract unless there's some article of some paragraph in that contract which reduces your rights if you paid late or something along those lines. And that's why it would be very contract specific. But you're taking – that's why a lot of people when litigation initiates, you can try to make a payment, but they won't take the payment. And that's because they're protecting their rights in the litigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you cash the check, that means something.
It sure does. It means that you accepted their payment. You know, and I've seen people write on the back of the checks. I've seen people write, you know, all kinds of disclaimers on back of checks when they send them into people. And, you know, I got to tell you, folks, if you ever get a check and there's some writing on the back that looks like they're trying to contractually obligate you to something, don't sign that check. Mm-hmm. Because your signature and your deposit of that check may at some point be enough to bind you to whatever it is that they're trying to bind you to.
Interesting. 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. We're about midway through the Cabranes Law Hour here at WRJN. One more time for your office number, too, Attorney Cabranes, is 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0529. First consultation is always free. I think this would be a great time to break for news here, and we will be back with more of the Cabranes Law Hour here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply to the prosecution of your case. You should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, make no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal issue. With that said, about 25 minutes to 2, the Cabranes Law Hour is back. Our phone number, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. If you don't want to talk on the radio, call the Cabranes Law Office directly at 262-638-0529. First consultation is always free. And during the break there, I asked you if there are certain seasons or certain things pop up more in the law business than others, and we're coming up to St. Patrick's Day, and you said, yeah, the DUI business is going to heat up here pretty quickly.
Well, we hope not, but we don't want people driving drunk. But if you do and you get caught and are in trouble, please, you know, we do a lot of OWI cases throughout the year. But I have a question. I mean, why is the first operating while intoxicated offense here in Wisconsin not considered? I know in some states, I think it's a felony in the first offense. I think in New York, I believe it is. And over here, it's just a minor traffic violation. I wonder why that is.
Well, there's nothing minor about that traffic violation. It's actually considered a major traffic violation under the DOT rules. But your question is well taken and should be addressed to the state legislature in Madison, Wisconsin. And I suspect that part of the answer lies in the Tavern League and not wanting the criminalization of a first offense.
All right, we have a caller. Hello, caller. You're on the Cabranes Law Hour. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
We are fine. What can we do for you?
I just have a question. It doesn't really... Anyway, it goes like this.
It can be anything.
I've been divorced about 3 years now, and my ex-husband, he makes about $100,000 a year, and, you know, still does. And he squawked about giving me $20,000 a year out of his $100,000.
He squawked? Is that what he actually did?
Yeah. He didn't want to do it. And I didn't argue because I was divorced in 6 months, because I wouldn't argue with anything at all. Just whatever he wanted, I basically gave him. But is that bad? I mean, is it bad to give me $20,000 a year? We were married for 22 years, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 of them. And then I just had basically blue-collar jobs after that.
We kind of set this up earlier. Attorney Cabranes, jump in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's part of why maintenance is awarded in the first place. Because usually, I mean, you've contributed to his earning capacity by staying home, taking care of the kids, helping him dedicate more time to his employment rather than spending more time, you know, keeping a house clean, raising the kids, you know, things like that. I mean, you've contributed. You've done your part to help him earn $100,000 a year. So, you know, when there are a number of factors that have to be considered in whether or not there's an award of maintenance, one of those factors is the length of time of the marriage. Certainly 22 years is a lengthy period of time. And in fact, so long that you're kind of in that permanent maintenance category. And now, you know, permanent maintenance lasts until you remarry or die. And then he's off the hook at that point. But yeah, I mean, you should have, I mean, did you get the 20 grand?
I did.
Okay. So
I did.
So, you know, you did right. Did you have any kids?
Yes, I have three.
Are they minor or are they adults?
Two were minor and one was just had become an adult.
Okay. Is that 20 grand?
I have one minor left.
Is that 20 grand a year that you were talking about, does that include child support or is that over and above child support?
That's the whole maintenance thing.
Well, the whole maintenance thing doesn't necessarily include child support. Okay.
So that's what they clumped it as, I guess.
Okay, so they lumped everything together?
Yeah, as maintenance.
Well, they would have lumped it in. It wouldn't have been maintenance. It would have been family support at that point. Because family support has kind of component of both maintenance and child support. And, you know, the amount of family support that you got, did that decrease as your kids became adults?
It will in a few years. I think it stays the same for like 8 years, and then the last 3 years it starts going down because it's for 11 years.
Okay, so you got
the maintenance.
You agreed to a limited term of maintenance, and so you also agreed to some type of de-escalation policy there where you would be paid less towards the end of the situation. You know,
yes.
Here's the thing. without looking at your particular situation, it's impossible for me to tell whether you made a good deal or not. It sounds to me, off the top of my head, it sounds to me like you might have been able to do better. But that's easy for me to say because I don't know the nuts and bolts of your case. You know, and the thing is that once you have a maintenance award or you waive maintenance, it's almost impossible to come back and get that maintenance award changed or it is impossible actually to come back and say if you've waived maintenance to come back and say now I want maintenance. I mean, it doesn't work that way. So
I have no interest in that.
Yeah. So, you know, so if your question is did I do okay on the deal? It sounds like you might have done okay. I mean, but I you know, the fact that you're getting $20,000 a year over and above what you're earning sounds like it's okay. You know, it would have been interesting to see what the child support portion of that component would have been as opposed to what the maintenance should have been or could have been there. And that's really where the devil is in those details. But you know, 20 grand a year over 11 years is still $220,000.
Don't look at me.
I don't know. Yeah, 220. I'm not. If I was good with numbers, I'd be an accountant.
Well, caller, let me ask you this: What was it like to get what you did get? I mean, was it a really contentious situation where you were going back and forth in court? Was it a real battle, or was it just something that they kind of offered up?
We had another I had another offer, and we were in mediation, and I didn't want to go any farther, and I said, you know, fine to that. But it scares me because I'm 48 and I have basically a blue collar job where I don't make a lot of money. So once it's up, I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't afford to live on my own at that point.
Well, let me ask you a question.
You know,
did you have a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a lawyer?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm assuming that your lawyer gave you advice on the issue of maintenance and what they thought a reasonable offer was, right?
Yes.
And did you listen to your lawyer's advice?
I did. He was a little disappointed that I agreed to it, but I didn't want any fighting. I didn't want it for my kids. I was done.
You sound like you just wanted to be done with the whole situation. Maybe you could have hung in there, but you're just like, I want out. I've had enough,
so
right?
What I'm hearing you say to me is that your lawyer was thinking that you should hold out for more, and you decided, I don't want to do that. I just want to be done with it. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I understand that logic because I got to tell you, my brother was married for 11 years. And when he got divorced, in spite of all the advice that I tried to give him, he just basically told his wife, take everything. I just want to get out. Take everything. And literally he walked out of that marriage with the shirt on his back and a couple of other articles, you know, and he could have done much better in the situation that he is. So I get why you did what you did.
It's tough to look at dollars and negotiations when there's all this emotional baggage wrapped up in the whole thing as well. You're not really thinking straight.
Well, that's why you hire a lawyer. That's why you hire a lawyer because a lawyer is supposed to. It doesn't always happen that way, but a lawyer is supposed to sort of stay above the fray and keep the emotion out of it. And sometimes that actually really irritates the heck out of a client. Because they want you to be as emotional and
get mad, come on.
Yeah, mad and, you know, rip his throat out or rip her throat out or, you know, leave her lying bloody on the side of the road. And, you know, what decent lawyers and people try to do is recognize that you've got two probably very nice people who are at a really bad point in their lives. And you want to try to basically make sure that there is a fair division of property, a fair division of assets, and try to do it in the most pain-free possible way. Because, you know, you've got kids. Those kids are eventually going to get married. You and your husband are going to see each other at family functions where the kids are getting married, or you know you're going to have grandchildren, things like that. And so, you know, you're joined at the hip for life. And you know, when you hire a divorce attorney, you're not looking to hire somebody who's going to set fires in that process and create such animosity you know, you're going to hate each other for the rest of your lives. That's not what a good right. family law attorney does. On the other hand, a good family law attorney does fight tooth and nail to get every last dime that their client deserves, you know. And so there's kind of a balancing act that you got to do there. Sometimes it's not an easy balancing act. And, you know, a lot of it's going to fall on, you know, where the client is. There are some clients like you who just want to be done with it. I don't want to deal with this guy anymore. There are some clients who just basically say, I want this guy, you know, put up on a cross and have the vultures picking at him. You know, and so, you know, with those people, you got to kind of talk them off the ledge so that they can be a little more reasonable. And with, you know, people in your situation, sometimes you got to be a little stronger and say, well, you know, I understand this is what you want, but this is what you're entitled to. And then try to explain to them what's going to happen 20 years down the road when your agreement expires and you're left without any money other than what you can make yourself. And see, I think, you know, that's the key there. And not just looking at what's going to happen when you get the judgment and how much money you're going to get immediately after you get the judgment, but you got to look at what's going to happen down the line. And from the sounds of this conversation, I think you were looking short term and you weren't looking long term. And you know, now, you know, you see what the problems are, just a short term, you know, kind of a view of these things.
Yeah.
But if you want to give us a call, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, does our caller have any recourse at this point? You said probably not.
On the maintenance issue and child support issue, probably not realistically. I mean,
I wouldn't anyways. I mean, I just wouldn't go after it anyways. I guess my other main question is, he says he can't live off what he makes now, even though, you know, he grosses about 80 grand a year. How is that possible?
Well, you know,
how can he not be able to, unless he's just really bad at finances? Mm-hmm.
Well, and that could be too, but that's not your problem. Yeah. There's a court order in place, and if he wants to change the court order, let him go back to court.
Could just be trying to pull at your heartstrings and...
Yeah, don't hurt me too much, you know. Think of all we meant to each other, you know, blah, 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 blah. Don't take any more money from me. But you know what? If he's hurting bad enough, he'll bring you back to court. He'll try to throw this issue open again. And, you know, when you throw those things open, when you throw those maintenance issues open again, assuming that the court will even allow that to happen, that can go either way. That can go in either direction.
It could backfire.
It could really backfire hard on him.
Well, you know, caller, you still sound conflicted. You say, on one hand, I'm afraid for my future. I don't know if I'll have enough once the kids are gone to continue to live the way I want to live. Yet you don't want to go after more. You sound like you're still kind of on the fence yourself.
In ways I am, but mainly I'm not. I accept it as it is, and I just go one day at a time. What happens, happens, and I just... I'll just roll with the punches as they come.
Well, you know, and sometimes that's the only thing you can do. Especially, you know, decisions have consequences. And once we make a decision, we better be able to live with the consequences, good or bad. And so, you know, it sounds to me like that's where you find yourself now, is that, you know, you have to accept that you want it out quickly. You wanted to give them a deal so that you could end this. And now you got to accept the consequences of that. But, you know, I appreciate your call. And if you have any questions about this, or if you think that we can help you in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 262-638-0529. And we'll be happy to give you a free initial consultation. We can talk about it some more.
Thanks, caller.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yep. Bye-bye.
634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. Give us a call if anything is on your mind regarding the law. It is the Cabranes Law Hour, heard each Friday, 1 o'clock. If you'd like to call the office of Attorney Cabranes directly, 262-638-0529. 262-6328. That's 262-638-0529. I liked what you said about you have to kind of keep your cool when those around you are probably spinning in many different directions at once as an attorney in a divorce situation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, here's the problem. The, you know, in my office, the client comes first. And so, you know, we'll bend over backwards for the client. But, you know, unfortunately, in other law offices, it's a different story. And so what will happen, and there's a couple of well-known law firms in southeastern Wisconsin that'll do this, is they will start setting fires everywhere they can. And why do they do that? Because they're billing by the hour, okay? And so the more rancor, the more hatred they can generate, the more conflict they can generate, the bigger their bill is. And I've seen, nobody has to tell me about it, I've seen it. You know, a simple little divorce that maybe should have cost $2,000-$3,000 suddenly cost $30,000-$40,000 because they're fighting each other tooth and nail. So, you know.
With the attorney egging them on.
With the attorney egging them on, that's right. And so that's part of the reason why you don't want an attorney that's emotionally involved with you in this case. You want them to be able to be dispassionate. You want the advice that you get to be logical and to be, you know, to be based on what the law is and what the facts are, not the damage that you want to do to the other side. And so, you know, we try to get you in. We try to get you out. We try to you know, get as much as we can for you in as pain-free a way possible. The reality is that there's going to be pain in a divorce. I mean, nobody ever gets married thinking, I'm going to wind up in divorce court. It just doesn't happen because you wouldn't get married otherwise. Sometimes it happens, and when it does happen, you know, you hope that you fall in the hands of people who are not going to take you for a ride. You know, in most cases, I think you have some good attorneys out there who will take good care of you. We certainly try to do that. But there are some attorneys, and believe me that the local practitioners know who they are, who will create nothing but problems in that case, with a sole point of it is to generate more billable hours. And so, you know, we try to stay away from that. We want nothing to do with that kind of practice. You know, and in some cases we do charge hourly. In some cases we'll give a flat fee, depending on what the situations are. You know, to avoid just that kind of situation.
634-9756, that's 634-WRJN, the Office of Attorney Cabranes, 262-638-0529. We say that the first consultation is free, so at least people have a good idea of what you can do for them. Just, you know, go in and talk about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, these cases are very emotionally involved, and just having a level head there is really important, and especially when there's children involved, people, like we were talking about earlier, people forget about that and just start thinking about themselves or the money. And then the kids, no matter how young, know what's going on. And it could just...
it spirals out of control.
Yes.
You know, and you know, honestly, and if there are people who've either worked at the courthouse or work at the courthouse now, who will laugh when I say this, but they know it's absolutely true. There are certain files in that courthouse where if somebody files a document to bring, you know, post-judgment motion or something along those lines, they immediately will recognize that name because there are certain files that that they're like the undead. They keep coming back. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is really unresolved issues. You know, they might have needed some therapy or whatever, but some of that is caused, unfortunately, by the attorneys that they had who just basically, you know, didn't handle the clients properly, didn't try to talk them down off the ledge. And that level of hatred continues for years and years and years where they'll look for any excuse to bring each other back into court and claim that they're in violation of court orders and things like that. They'll be asking for attorney's fees. They'll be asking for contempt, and that you throw this guy in jail or throw her in jail, or, you know, back and forth, you know, custody and placement situations where, you know, the child, you know, is awarded to maybe one of them, or in some cases a shared placement situation where one or the other party thinks that I should have primary placement. And for 18 years, they're bouncing back and forth in court. So, you know, don't be one of those people.
It causes tension between them. And like Attorney Francis was saying with the lady on the phone, you know, those children might have or you might get grandchildren out of them one day. You know, you're stuck with the other person. You chose that person at one point, so.
Yeah. You know, one thing I noticed you said is, like, there's not a lot after, you know, a decision is made that you can go back and have this thing reworked or relook at everything, yet people are dragging each other back into court. What do they use as a means to reopen a wound or get back into court or have something looked at? My kid's in trouble, you're not raising them properly, that sort of thing?
Basically.
Yeah?
Yeah. But in modifying placement or custody and stuff like that, there is a two-year waiting period. So after an order is made by the judge or court, you have to usually wait 2 years to bring another motion to modify it, unless there's an emergency, or there's I believe the standard for bringing something like that before the 2 years is substantial risk of harm to the child. Right.
Okay.
And that's usually people come up with something or the other to get in there before, you know, the 2 years is up. So, I mean, it does happen.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah. And you know, you very rarely see people coming back to court over and over and over again over property issues. I think I've seen it once in 20 years where several years after a judgment, they came back and were still fighting over property. Most of the time what you see is it's the child custody issues, it's the placement issues, because they're not satisfied, you know. And you know, a lot of times it's the person who's paying child support that's really the one who's driving that engine. So
they want it to either end or have less of it.
Right.
Or I won't be paying if the child is with me.
Right.
Then I'll be getting a check.
Right. Okay. And so what happens is that, you know, let's look at the more traditional example. Mom gets primary placement of the child. Dad has to pay child support. Well, dad's paying 17% is what the percentage standard is for dad paying child support off of one child, then that would be the gross income. So before dime one of taxes is taken out of your check, you're paying 17% towards your child. And so what winds up happening is dad says, well, wait a minute. On a $1,000 gross paycheck that I get every 2 weeks, $170 is coming out before the taxes, and by the time all the taxes are taken out, I've maybe got $500 that I've got to spend and pay my bills. So that fuels a lot of this return to court, you know. And the problem is that nobody ever admits that that's what's going on. Okay, so what winds up happening is, you know, mom has got boyfriends. Mom is not letting me see the kid. Mom is doing this. Mom is doing that. And so what winds up happening is that they're airing all these grievances out in front of the court. The underlying issue at some point clearly becomes money, but you'll never get anybody to admit that.
No, we don't care about money. It's the children. Mm-hmm. That's why you're dragging them in and using them as a pawn in this situation.
Yeah, and I will tell you that the damage that you do to kids is long-term damage. Because I will tell you that at the risk of giving too much information, my parents were divorced when I was about 6 years old, and I remember my mother dragging me in and out of courts. And I still have a very vivid memory at age six of what the courthouse looked like in San Juan, Puerto Rico. you know, your kids will remember this. And so it behooves you to act like adults. And even if you absolutely cannot stand the sight of the other person, keep your kids out of it.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good time for us to end. Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader, Attorney Cabranes. We will come back and do this again next Friday, correct?
God willing.
All right. Cabranes Law Hour here on your radio friend, WRJN.